Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Into the rest of the Lord. I feel like this just segues right into this because our identity is where rest comes from. What you're going to be taught, and you better sharpen your pencil. Get paper, pen if you take it, because we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. I don't know how far we'll get today, but we're going to unpack this. Because I really feel like this is something that we need to all either. You say, well, I've heard this. Great. Faith comes by. Hearing. Because that's why the Greek tense is. It's just not faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. It's faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing over and over again. So you may have heard this message before. Good. Don't be prideful and act like you know it all. But this word here, this is the message that if I could ever preach to any one person ever, besides the love of God, would be this: your identity in Christ. Your identity in Christ. So you got your Bibles today? Pixels or paper? Let's raise them high in the air. This is my Bible, God's word for me. I can do what it says I can do, and I can be who it says I can be, and I can have what it says I can have. Today, my mind is alert, and my heart is prepared to hear the unchanging, uncompromising, incorruptible word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you again for the word today. Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Ask Him to speak to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Let's start in verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, but God forbid. No, wait. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as I walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now, the Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm not going to boast in anything except for the cross of Christ. And the world, because of the cross, the world now, because he's identifying with the cross, he said, now the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, the world here, when it's talking about the world, we're not talking about the sphere. We're not talking about here about, you know, this the third rock from the sun. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the world here is referring to values and beliefs and the morals that are not influenced by Christ, that are influenced by sin and evil and rebellion towards God. That's what we're talking about, the world. He said, that has been crucified to me. I now no longer identify with those value systems. I now identify with the value system of the kingdom of God. Amen. And he says that here. He said that the world's been crucified to me, not to the world. He says, but in Christ Jesus, he said, all the rituals, all the outward stuff has no bearing. You can come to church. Circumcision was a mark on this. Of course, we don't have to go there, but circumcision was a mark, an outward mark that the people were in covenant with God. He said, listen, the outward marks and the outward rituals mean nothing. It's only the new creation that actually matters now. Now, what I want you to dial in is on verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule. walking according to this standard, walking according to this measurement, walking according to this principle. What principle? What standard? What role? Verse 15 again. Pull that back up for me, Marianne. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a what? A new creation, the new creature. And I got to walk according to that rule. Those who walk according to that rule, peace and mercy abides with them. So it's important that you and I begin to walk according to the standard, oh my, of the new creation and not the standards of the world. That's what he was saying. He said, I've been crucified to the world. The world's been crucified to me. I don't walk by that anymore. That's not my rule. That's not my standard. My standard now is the new creation. That's what's dictating my life. The new creation, man, this is good. You guys know this scripture, but 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, right? Now we could all quote it. Let's just read it together. Therefore, if anyone is where? Stop there. That word, over 130 times in the New Testament, that word, in Christ, in Him, in whom, is in the letters. It's in the Pauline epistles, all through the New Testament. Because that's a very important statement. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Old things have what? And all things have what? When you get born again, old has gone and the new has come. Now it's up to me to learn to live by the rule and the standard of the new creation. The new creation. The Phillips translation says this: He becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Another translation says, a true Christian is not merely a man altered, but a man remade. The CEV says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. Listen to the Living Bible. This is good. The Living Bible. This is, it kind of condenses a few verses, because we'll look at these as we move on in this series. But you could back up to verse, you know, especially about verse 15, 14, 13, start reading down. But this is how it encapsulated. Stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Once, I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself. How differently I feel now. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. When you, and I know this is going to be very elementary today, but when you get born again, you are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creation. That word new is, the word new is the Greek word kainos, and it means something that's never existed before. It's something brand spanking new. You are a new creation. When you accepted Christ, something changed on the inside of you. You didn't get religion. You got relationship with the Almighty God. If you meant it from your heart and you repented in your heart for it and you got saved, I'm not talking about just worldly sorrow that does not produce repentance. I'm talking about a godly sorrow that will produce repentance in us. I'm telling you what, the minute that you pray, I'm telling you Christ's Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you and He makes you a brand new person. The spiritual stuff starts to come on. It comes on the inside of you. When I got born again, something changed. But, you know, I mean, we all understand that we get born again, but we still act like certain ways sometimes. Now, we got to start working on it, and we're going to see that in this series. But I'm telling you, listen, you're not defined by the stuff that you're doing. You're defined by the new creation. And if you and I would get our focus, quit getting our focus on the fruit of our salvation and start getting the focus on the root of our salvation, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, the fruit starts to come around. The problem is we're always living in shame, we're living in doubt, we're living in unbelief, we're living in condemnation. Why? Because we're always looking at ourselves and the failures and the flaws we have. Now listen, I'm not telling you, I'm not giving anybody excuses to stay where you're at. Jesus will get in the dirt with you, He'll get in the mud with you, but I'm telling you, He's there to pull you out. But you are a new creation. All things have passed away. You keep bringing up your past to God. He's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Over in Micah, he cast them into the depths of the sea, never to remember them anymore. He put no fishing signs up. Why are you going back and fishing illegally? No, you didn't hear me. Because your past doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to Him. It's illegal for you to go into your past. It doesn't belong to you. It's not your possession anymore. It's illegal. You keep bringing up your past. It's not there. You become a new creation. Old things have passed away. So why don't I just start identifying with who I really am? Amen. And if I just start identifying with who I really am, I'll start moving forward a lot faster in my life. Hallelujah. New person. So in this series, I want God to reintroduce us, or maybe for some, introduce us to our true self. Not the imposter, not the false self, not the one that was in Adam, but the one that's now in Christ. Have you ever felt, let me ask you a question, have you ever felt out of sync? Have you ever felt out of sync? Yeah, we do at times, like you weren't living as who you really are. I need to get in sync with my true identity. It unlocks, it begins to unlock the inheritance that's in me. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, we'll just put it up on the screen because I'm going to mention it, but I want you to see this. Apostle Paul says this, I say then, what's he say? Walk in the, or let me give you my translation because it's the same, to be in step. Stay in step or stay in sync with the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the what? Okay, hold on. Read this scripture, church. Read it, what the Bible's saying. If I'll actually learn to walk in step and in sync with the Spirit, I will not walk by the desires, the world's desire, the worldly desires and the cravings that I have. I mean, we could take that right there and just leave out of here and start walking in victory. Why? Because we stay in step or in sync with the Spirit. And if I do that, the things of the flesh begin to lose its hold on me. The problem is we're out of sync. We're not staying in step with the Holy Spirit. And if I'm not staying in step with the Spirit, the flesh begins to have a huge draw on my life. And there's nobody in this room, nobody, that doesn't feel that gravitational pull of the flesh on your life. Come on, somebody. In sync. What does it mean to be in sync? It means to be in agreement with. You're in agreement with who you are. And this is where victory's found. You overcome temptations by being in sync with your true identity. You'll learn to be led by the Spirit. That's where it's found. That's found here, being in sync with our true identity. We'll walk in purpose and destiny. We'll walk in faith because why? We're in sync. You'll walk in authority because why? You're in sync. You were made, you guys have been hearing me say this for the last few weeks, you were made to live from the inside. If I'm going to walk in my inheritance in Christ, I've got to learn who I am. But the problem is we're not syncing up our devices. You ever notice that about a phone? You ever had your phone die, phone go kaput, huh? And you go over to buy a new phone. Well, they first ask you. Come on. Someone help me. When you bought the new phone, right, and you're ready, they'll ask you something. What do they say? Have you backed it up? Have you synced it recently? Because if you don't sync it, you lose your contacts. You lose all your messages. You lose all the emails, right? So it's the same thing. When you and I stop syncing up with the Spirit, stuff starts getting lost in our life. Stuff starts happening around us. But when I'm synced, it doesn't matter if it all goes down. I'm just going, hey, it's in the cloud, baby. It will come right back down. I don't know where that's at. It's somewhere out there. It's in the cloud. But I'm telling you what, you go and you get it in the cloud, it'll come back. It's the same thing with you and I. When we're staying in sync with the Spirit, I'm telling you something, your clarity, it doesn't get lost. Come on. Hallelujah. It's my new identity. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're in Galatians. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Just go back a couple and you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Bill said, let Malachi and go back two books. Haggai. Now look here what it says in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither people that practice fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, people that's practicing these, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And look what it says in verse 11. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Is that what it says? What's he saying? New creation. This is the way you once were, but that's not your MO anymore. That's not your not your mode of operation. That's not the way that you were that. But that you're not that anymore. Why? Because you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. Amen. Now notice what he says here in verse 12. Look what he says. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not what? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the what? The power of any. What's he saying? He said, now you're living by, now, because see, you were this. You've been washed and sanctified. Now listen, there's a lot of things that it's okay, but you got to watch because you got to live by the new creation and not by the things and the dictates of the flesh or things out here that seems like they're right. Am I making sense to you? He's saying you got to live by verse 11. You were washed, you were sanctified, right? Through the name of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. All things are lawful for me, but listen, I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. I'm going to live by my new creation. That's what's going to help me to live this thing out because it's the Spirit of God. So identity. Identity is a big deal. God, identity, it's the structural steel by which we live our lives. We build our lives. The very framework by which we build our lives around. It's the unseen parts of us matter. My identity. How we perceive ourselves is the driving force by which we make decisions in our lives, respond to circumstances, engage in relationships, overcome temptations, hearing from God, being led by the Spirit, walking in purpose and destiny, walking in faith, operating in authority. Because the Bible says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when we are in sync with our true identity, we can conquer temptation. Look, listen to this. This is Matthew 4 with Jesus' temptation. Remember Jesus' temptation in the wilderness? Two-thirds of the temptations, that there was three things that Satan threw out to him. Two-thirds of it was all about Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of God, then do this. If you are the Son of God, do this. Your temptation comes down to who, what am I? All things are lawful for me. But I'm not living by the, I'm living from the inside. What does my heart say? What does my spirit say? What does my identity tell me to do? This is where we live from. Every temptation will be a challenge to your identity. When we think about identity, identity is the distinguishing characteristic or personality of a person. It's who you are or believe yourself to be. More clearly, in our Christian walk, this term refers to how individuals understand themselves in relation to God, to others, and their role on the earth. It's through our identity that we actually get our value, and it's through our identity we get our worth. The enemy wants you in condemnation. The enemy wants you in shame. God wants you walking in your identity and who you are in Christ. You guys are right here. Ephesians 1:11, the Message Bible. Look at this one real quick here. Ephesians 1:11. It says, it's in Christ Jesus. Or in, it's in Christ. This is the Message version of Ephesians 1:11, 12. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hope up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose. He is working out in everything and everyone. Listen, it's in Christ I find out the reason for living. It's in Christ. So being in sync. I need to be in sync. So you say, well, Pastor Paul, how do I start being in sync? This is where we'll start breaking things down. Number one, again, being in sync starts with being born again. Born again. I know that's simple. Born again is a term that we use, right? Of being saved. Accepting Christ into your life. Receiving Jesus. Taking him as your own. Committing your life to him. So if I'm going to get in sync, I got to get born again. Now, probably, like I said, probably the majority of people, I don't know your heart, but I mean the majority, there's probably people here this morning that don't know Jesus, I'm sure of that. But the majority of us in here are already, we're saved, right? The majority of us in here are saved. So I want to stir us back up to this truth again. Man, this stuff, listen, this will have you trying to run through a wall. I'm telling you. This will make you want to run through. When you start knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, there's just a power that comes, man. I studied this week. I was like, man, I'm telling you, I'm ready. Like, Lord, how many times I've heard this message? How many times I've preached this message? How many, or something like this message? You know, there's been, I mean, oodles. No doubt, probably 50 or 60 times over the last, 25 years that I've preached this message. Maybe more than that, because everything's about identity. But it starts when I'm born again. Ephesians chapter 2. Go with me in your Bible. Go. I know. We're a word church. I ain't here just to give you some feel-good message. I'm here to show you what the Bible says. I'm telling you, listen, you got to get the word in you. Because that's what's going to happen. Listen, Jesus' temptation, right? Challenge to his identity, right? If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Everything was all, well, how did he respond? How did Jesus respond to every temptation? It is written. The devil don't want it. He don't care about your opinion. He cares about what the word says. It's the first time. Listen, this is interesting stuff. It's the first time that a human being spoke the word of God out of their mouth to the devil. Was Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. The first time that a human being spoke the word of God to the enemy, to the devil, straight to him. Imagine that. What just hit me? It is written. It is written. It is written. Ephesians chapter 2. Look here in verse 1. I'm going to read down through here a little bit. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Stop right here. How does the Bible see you before you are born again? Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. So when I get born again, the Bible says he makes me what? Alive. He makes me alive. Now because, let's read on now, because you were dead in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, just talking about the devil here, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among also whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, just as others. He said, before you were born again, you were dead, and you lived by the dictates of your flesh. You lived by the prince of the power of the air. Satan was your father. And you lived according to the standards and dictates of the world, not according to Christ. That's why, listen, people say, well, I'm going to clean my... Man, I feel this. I'm going to clean myself up. Or, listen, you can't do it without Jesus. You're dead. You can't come to church enough. You can't check off a Bible reading plan enough. It doesn't work that way. For by grace, I'll read it here in a minute. But for by grace, you've been saved. You were once dead in your trespasses and sin. You can, listen, you don't need duct tape on you. You need to be made brand spanking new. You need to be made alive. So when I receive Christ, His Spirit comes on the inside of me and He makes me alive. He makes me a new creation. I now have the ability to live not by my might, but by the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me. That's why you got to be born again. Church attendance will not save you. Doing good works and good deeds will not save you. You can't do it. You have to have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And now I work from that identity, and my works come out of that. You were dead in your nature. It says here in verse 3. It says you were by what? Nature. It was your nature. Sinners do one thing. You know what they do? They sin. Why are they sin? You work with sinners. Don't expect them to be saints. Don't get offended because they're acting according to their nature. The thing that you and I got to do is quit acting like them and start living in my true identity, and let's shine the light and let what people see. Hey, listen, I'm missing something in my life. Right? That's a good word. Amen. Verse 4, but God. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the buts of Scripture? Aren't you glad? But God. You were this way, but God. And what Paul starts talking about is the encapsulation of the whole human race. When Jesus died, he died as you and me. So when Jesus died, you died. All of humanity died. All of humanity. All of humanity died with Jesus. He's the second Adam. So when Jesus went to the grave, all of humanity went to the grave with him. When Jesus was resurrected, all of humanity was resurrected with him. When he was ascended, all of humanity ascended. When he was enthroned, all of humanity was enthroned. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement, he was our substitute. So all of humanity has already been saved. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. Remember now, things can be true to you, but not true of you. Things can be true objectively, but not subjectively. I still have to receive my salvation. But all of humanity has been redeemed. Now look what he says. Listen how possible. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. Amen. Humanity. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, all of humanity, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now look what he says. He starts to switch now in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and thought not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? You and I still have to receive salvation.
Yes. Yes,
sir. What I'm trying to show you is this, is that when, listen, you were dead, but when I've come to know Christ, he made me alive. And now I'm alive. And I look what it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in him. There's a destiny and there's a purpose, but it comes back to you and I moving from dead to alive. Moving from death to life. So when I got born again, I moved from death to life. But this is the thing. You and I as believers, we have a choice whether which way we're going to live. You can be born again and have one foot in the world. You can be born again and be living by the dictates of your flesh. You can be born again, right? Doing your own thing. It never works out well. Doing your own thing never works out well. Oh, it feels good. Oh, it feels good. Sin feels, you understand, sin feels good. If sin didn't feel good, no one would ever do it. All things are lawful for me. But not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, we just read it, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. You've got to be born again. And now the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Can I get a good amen here? You guys all right here? Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. What happened in the garden? Adam died. He sinned. God told him, he said, the day that you eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you will surely, the scripture says, just surely die, surely die. It actually means this in the Hebrew. Dying, you will die. Or, it's another way, you will die, die. This is what it means in Hebrew. Dying, you shall die. If you partake, you shall surely die. It's what it says in the King James and the New King James. But it's actually, in dying, you will die. Or you will die, die. What happened in the garden when Adam sinned? He died spiritually. He kept living. He didn't die physically. He died physically eventually. He died spiritually. And we see it right away. What's he do? He runs and hides from God. There's shame. There's condemnation. He runs and hides in the bushes from God. The next thing you know, we got the first household fight going on. It was her. Blame? No, it was the serpent. But the first blame. You just go over a few more pages in the Bible, you got the first murder. What's going on? Sin and the death and sin has been injected into the cosmos now, and it begins to rule over humanity. I have to be delivered from this. I've got to be made alive. This is where my identity comes from. We cannot keep in sync with God until we deal with the sin problem. Amen. Sin. You guys heard me talk about sin and the word S-I-N. Stop it now. But the word sin is the Greek word hamartia, and it means, we've heard it said, and it's true. This is a good, you know, it means to miss the mark. Sin means to miss the mark or to miss the target or to fail to hit the intended target. It was used as an archery term, an arrow that doesn't hit its target. That's what sin means. Well, what's the target? The target is the image of God. The target is my identity. But this is the better, this is one I love because it means the same thing, but it's encapsulated with this. Sin means not to be together with. Sin means not to be together with. Because an arrow belongs with a target. You've heard me talk about it. Peanut butter belongs with what? Right? Paul just belongs to, right? I mean, it's true. Paul and Andy. So this is the deal. Is that it's made to be together with it. Sin is something, it's us being disobedient to God to do our own thing. That way we're not together with him. The enemy wants us dancing our own dance over here and not staying in step or in sync with our Creator. So sin separates us from God. It separates us from others. It separates us from our purpose. It separates us from our destiny. The problem is not out there. The problem is here. We keep blaming stuff out there. The problem is not there. The problem is in here. The problem to fix our nation is not politicians. The problem is going to fix our nation. We got to have a heart. There's something got to go inside of the heart of a person. Right? And Jesus came to take care of that problem for us. Have you received the gift of eternal life? Because if not, you're dead. And I don't care how many times you come and set your butt in, sit down on a chair and listen to a sermon. It won't matter. If you're dead, you're dead. You may hear something good. You may be challenged by the Holy Spirit, but you need to receive. And once you receive, you get born again. Or as the old timers would say, born again. I've been born again. Saved. Spirit of God living on the inside of me. I got to get in sync by getting in sync with being born again. I need to get born again. I know you know this. Look at this one in John chapter 3. We'll put it up on the screen. There's a lot of scripture, but I need you to see this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is what? This is Jesus. Side note, if you want to see a great, great, great depiction of this, go watch The Chosen. Chosen and watch John when Nicodemus meets Jesus. It's phenomenal. Make you cry. Unless one is what? Born again, he cannot what? The word see here is actually to perceive it. You can't perceive, go back here a second. You can't perceive the things of the kingdom of God unless you're born again. I mean, people don't understand tithing. If you're not born again, you can't understand tithing. If you're born again, you can't understand how to be led by the Spirit. If you're not born again, you can't understand how to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you're not born again, Jesus said you got to be born again. And you'll perceive the things of the kingdom of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God living on the inside of you now. Verse 4, look here. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he's thinking naturally. Jesus is not talking about natural. Jesus said, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the what? There's two births. There's a natural birth by water through the womb of a woman, right? Through water, and you got to be born of the what? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. This is good. That which is born of the flesh is what? This is fleshly. That was born of the flesh. He's talking here about the actual skin, that right, humanity. But that which is born of the what? Is what? Now notice there's a capital S and a small s. You are a three-part being. I know you know this, but I'm going to say it again. You are a spirit that lives in a body and possesses a soul. Put that back up there a second for me, Marianne. That which is born of the Spirit is your spirit. You have to be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You guys have saw maybe I need to do that again. Maybe that's what, you know, but if I had, give me three people. Come here, Glenn. Come here, Jackson. Come here, Jonathan. Come here. Just let him here real quick. Just real quick. I know I don't want to take a long time, but just three right here. Come here. Okay. So you're a three-part being, spirit, soul, body, right? I know you know this, but spirit, soul, body. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes. That which is born of the Spirit is what? God lives here. Right? Now duck out a second. Just duck out a second. Just duck out a second. No, 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 no. Just you. Just sit down. You sit down. Right there. Right here. Beside my mouth. Right there. There you go. All right. Look. Look, look, look. This is the body. This is your actions. The goal is to get that here out to here to where fruit starts to happen. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Right? Walking in your... My identity is locked up here. But if I don't do something with this, you get absent-minded, right? We got absent because the soul. Absent-minded, you can't get here to here. It never works. But if I get my soul, if I get my soul lined up with this, guess what happens to this? It comes together. Thank you, guys. And I know you saw me do that 50 times. But if I don't, you got to understand what's going on with you. When you get born again, your spirit gets saved. Your mind doesn't. And your body doesn't. Your mind's got to be saved. Right? And it starts to leak out into your life. That's where your identity is. My identity, I got to get synced up with I got to get born again. This is where it starts. I've got to get born again. I'm trying to find a place to land this plane. So I want you to know something again as I get ready. Just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. There's a real effect that happens when you get born again. Now look what he says. Go back up there again, Marianne, about this whole thing that Jesus talks about being born again. Let's go back there. That which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Right? Can you pull up two more scriptures? I didn't give them to you. But can you pull up the next two verses for me, Marianne, please? Because I want you to see this. Because just because you didn't see something happen, I've had people come to the altars here and, man, cry their eyes out, right? And I've had people come up here just as stoic as all get out to get born again and never shed a tear. Which one got it? Which one got it? I don't know, right? I mean, ultimately, God's the one that saves. But I can't dictate what's going on the outside. That's what we're doing. We're walking by the flesh. Yeah. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is what? They're separated. What it says here in verse 7? Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be what? You must be what? Verse 8. But look, it says the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What is Jesus saying? He said, look, you can't see the Spirit of God, but you can feel the evidence. You can see the evidence. The wind can blow. It's blowing now. Praise the Lord. Yes. It's blowing. But I can feel it, right? Can you see the wind? Can you see that air? You can't. You can't see the Spirit, but the Spirit produces effects. And the same thing. Listen, when you get born again, you listen, something tangible has happened on the inside of you. You've got to believe it. Because I'm telling you something. If you give your heart, and I'm going to give an altar call in a little while, but I'm telling you something. If you come here and you get saved today, listen here. You by the time you get out on 62 or on 35, the enemy already chirping in your ear about how you're not saved. The wind blows, right? You don't see, but you see the effects. Got to be born again. Got to be born again. So, let me share this one with you, and then we'll close it down. So, you are brought, when you get born again, you are brought into union with Christ. This is huge. 1 Corinthians 15:22 on the screen here, it says this. It says, for as in Adam, everybody say in Adam. in Adam. See, this is your position. In something is your position. You were in Adam. So in Adam all die. Even so, where? All shall be what? See, your position before you came to know Christ, according to the Bible, was in Adam. Now that I know Christ and I've accepted Christ, I'm now in Christ. In Adam or in Christ. We all came, we all were affected by the fall of Adam. It was a master defect. When he fell, every single recording, we don't do that much anymore, but I can remember taking CDs. Anybody remember burning CDs? Who can say I can remember burning CDs? There's some folks that I'm burning a CD. Whatever was on the CD got burnt onto the other CD. That's what happened in the fall. Adam became defective, and now every human being after the copies after him was being burnt was the same thing. We were all in Adam. What was happening, what happened to Adam, happened to all of us. It happened to all of us until I accepted Christ. In Adam, we are all born with an identity crisis, all of us. And when Adam fell, spiritual death happened, soulish death began, physical death was introduced to the world, and ultimately Satan became the god of this world. And Jesus became a man. The Bible calls him the second Adam. He came to undo everything that Adam had messed up. He was the second Adam. He was the final Adam. What Adam was supposed to look like was like Christ. And he came. Just don't bail out on me now. Just listen. I'm getting ready to close this thing. But he came to this earth. And the Bible said he was marred when he was on the cross. His visage, his appearance was marred more than any other man. You couldn't even tell who he was on the cross. Why? Sin had come. Sin had come and so marred man's image. It wasn't anything like God created. And Jesus came to reset this thing and to cause something brand new to begin to happen. Whew. We share the identical condition of Adam. Now, because of Christ, we share the identical condition as Christ. We are in union with him. Let me give you this illustration. You find it. This is me. This is you. Hold that for me. In Adam. I am in Adam. Before salvation, all humanity is here. So everything that Adam, I'm in him. The curse, sin, identity crisis, it's all there. You're in Adam. But when I got born again, I got placed in Christ. No matter where this goes. You were in Adam. Didn't matter where you went. Now, because of salvation, I'm in him. Everywhere Christ goes. Come on. Where is Christ right now? He is, according to Ephesians chapter 2, he is seated in heavenly places. Come on. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named not only in this world, but that which is to come. And he gave us to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. It's Ephesians 2. You are in Christ. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You are with him. You listen here. It's him. It's his blood. It's his righteousness. It's his holiness. It's him. And I'm now in him. I am hid. Colossians 3 says, I am hidden with Christ in God. I am hid in him. So, hey, listen here. So, guess what? I got to start seeing myself here. How's that happen? By being born again. Marriage, one of the greatest illustration of being in Christ is a marriage covenant. The Bible calls it one flesh. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. She is in me, I am in her. We are one. We share the same name. Come on. You're in union with him. You got to be born again. Got to be born again. So how do I get in sync with God and my identity? I've got to be born again. And I know everybody in this room probably said, that's old news. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I got something good from that. I love teaching this stuff. I want you to understand. Because if you can understand, when you walk out that door, you'll go out more than a conqueror. And you'll go out being victorious. And the things that used to trip you up, the things that cause problems, no longer is causing the issue, and you're actually walking in freedom. Why? Because I know who I am. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. That's a fixed position. In union with Christ. One of the greatest theological terms that we could ever grab a hold of is union. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. To be joined to. You are inseparable from him. Listen, God knew you before you were in your mother's womb. You came from him. Guess where home's at? In him. This is home. This is lost. This is home. This is imposter. This is truth. This is false. This is the truth. This is what you and I were created to be all along, was to be in Christ. The Bible says you were in him before the foundation of the world. You came from him. Before you were ever a thought in your mom and dad's thought pattern, before you was ever there, listen here, I'm telling you, God knew you. You were made for relations with Father, Son, and Spirit. You were made for that. And the enemy throws all kinds of junk out to us to try to get us to bite on the false stuff. To get you walking away from your true identity. You say, well, Pastor Paul, I'm struggling today. What does this mean for me? If you've been born again, you're still here. You don't go from here to here. Because you fail or because you mess up. This is your fixed position. What do you need to do? Go to your father. Go face to face. Say, Father, I have screwed it up royally. I'm asking, Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. I know who I am. That is not who I am. That's not who I am. What I have been doing is not who I am. I know that I am in Christ. Therefore, I'm going to go and I'm going to start living by my true identity. I'm going to renew my mind to the Word of God. That way, what was on the inside of me will start flowing out on the outside. The lies and the deception will be exposed before me. That way, I'll know, God, these things are lawful, but they're not beneficial for me. They're not the right things for me. They lead me down wrong roads, but I know I'm in Christ. I know I'm saved. I'm not going to condemn myself anymore. I'm not going to walk in shame anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm telling you, something will start shifting. There's a power that will come and start energizing you to walk in victory. Come on, somebody. That's the scripture. That's the Bible. Let's start living by who God's called us to be. You'll find yourself walking right out of the junk. Amen. All right. Let's play something, somebody.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.